As Jan mentioned in the announcements, we're glad to have each one here this morning, and those that are visiting, we're especially glad to have you. We're going to be looking at some things in verses this morning from Romans chapter 1 concerning the fact that God gave His Son for our sins. And last week we talked about the theme of the Bible, the centerfold of the Bible is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God's scheme of redemption through Jesus Christ. And so the gospel then is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul determined to preach the gospel. He was called and his apostle to go and preach and to tell people about Jesus who came and lived and who set the perfect example, who died on the cross and rose again the third day. So the gospel is important. You're here today and I'm here today because we're appointed in the Bible to worship God on the first day of the week. Part of our worship services is studying, teaching, and preaching the gospel. We find the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20 and verse 7, and Paul preached unto them, planning to depart on the morrow. So the gospel is very important. This morning I want to look at a few verses from the Bible that illustrate to us just how important the gospel is. Now I know before we get into these points that you already know these facts about the Bible, but it's good for us to refresh ourselves and think about the importance of the Word of God, what the gospel should mean to us, and what we ought to be doing with it as Christians. It was mentioned earlier and announced that our gospel meeting begins next week with Brother Mike Waters, and he's a very able speaker. He's very knowledgeable and he delivers the gospel in an humble and very clear and precise manner that we can all receive some good benefits from coming and hearing him share the Word of God and break the bread of life to us. So let's make our plans to be here to hear the Word of God, to listen to it, to apply it to our lives, and invite others to come and hear Mike preach the Word of God. Mike would say, just like I would, it's not the fact of Mike preaching, but the Word he has to offer is what's important. He keeps the Word of God out in front of him, and that's what it's all about. He's a very able speaker, and we're thankful for that. So let's make plans in that gospel meeting to receive that gospel and apply it to our lives and do all we can to share it with others that, number one, that souls might be saved. Number two, that we who are Christians will learn better that how we ought to serve God, and that we ought to be in the church here at Beulah. So this morning, let's talk about some things concerning the gospel of Christ. Let's look at verses 15 through 17 again. There in Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." We know Paul was ready to preach the gospel anywhere he was sent. Anywhere he had an opportunity to go, he would go and preach the gospel. In troublesome times, in tribulations, in trials, being beaten and being robbed and being stoned and being railed upon and opposition against the Jews, he willingly went and preached the gospel. And he said, "So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel." And the reason is that the gospel was a very important part of Paul's life, and it should be a very important part of everyone's life because the gospel is important for everyone. Verse 16 there he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And look at verse 17. "For in it," that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith." So, from faith to faith, from generation to generation, the Word of God is handed down, and the Word of God, the gospel, is the good news of what God has done for man through His sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, and what His Son did in the dying on the cross for our sins, and His resurrection that He overcame death, and the promise we have through the gospel. So the gospel is very important. Let's look at a few notes concerning just how important the gospel is this morning. Number one, the gospel is important because Jesus saw fit to command that the gospel be preached. He sent His apostles out to the world to preach the gospel. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the gospel is to be preached, is to be preached to everyone possible, and is to generate then so people can have faith in God and believe in God. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that we can't come to God and please Him without faith. So how do we get faith? By hearing the word. So Jesus said, go preach the gospel. Go teach, and the plan of salvation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. So teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel was a command that Jesus gave to His apostles. The same great commission was recorded in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 when He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So there's that word believe again. Well, what are we going to believe in? We're going to believe the good news. We're going to believe what God tells us through His Word. So Jesus commanded that the gospel be taught. We have an example in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 where those people who were converted by the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and those people that were converted in Jerusalem by the preaching of Peter and John and others, that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when they were scattered abroad, what did they do? When they went down to Samaria and other places, they went everywhere preaching and teaching the Word. So the Word, the gospel, is to be taught. Jesus would have all people then who are Christians to teach others. Parents to teach their children. Neighbors to teach their friends. Us to teach one another. The gospel needs to be taught. Matter of fact, Paul declared to Timothy that, you know, you need to teach good men who will receive the Word of God and learn it, who in turn will be able themselves also to do what? Teach others. So teaching the gospel, Jesus commanded that it be taught. He commands that we teach it. It ought to be taught. So how are we going to teach it? Well, we're not going to teach it unless we know it. How are we going to know it? We're going to study the Word. So the gospel is important because it is a command that it is to be taught. And so that makes it very important for mankind. Secondly, preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel to others means that we preach Jesus Christ, or we teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can't preach and teach the gospel without talking about the life of Christ, His suffering and His crucifixion and His death and His burial and resurrection, because that's what the good news is all about. That God sent His Son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you can't preach and teach the gospel without preaching Jesus Christ, because the good news is all about what God did for us through Jesus Christ. So preaching the gospel means that we preach Him and His death. Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem, verse 14 of Acts chapter 2 tells us that Peter stood up and beckoned to the people and preached unto them about Jesus, and he told about David and the forefathers and how David was to yet still in his tomb, and he's still alive, he's still dead, but Jesus, the Son of God, came and died, and He is no longer in the tomb. He was raised from the dead, and Peter preached Jesus, the Son of God, and Him being put to death and Him being raised from the dead, and some there even had a part or perhaps a hand in putting Him to death. So the gospel then, when we preach it, involves the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Acts chapter 4, look over there. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, and we see that certainly Peter and others and John and others, when they were confronted by the miracles they did and the things they were teaching, the gospel in Jesus Christ was always at the forefront about the power that came to God, from God to mankind through Jesus, and the things they were doing was through the power they had through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man here stands before you whole. So, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is part of the preaching of the gospel. You can't preach the gospel without telling about Jesus and His life and His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. When Philip was told to go south and the Spirit told him where to go, he went down and he ran up on the Ethiopian eunuch, the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. And he was in a chariot riding along, having been to Jerusalem to worship, and was on his way back home. And Philip goes up to him and he finds him in his chariot, and the man's reading from the scripture there in Isaiah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, How can I unless some man guide me?" So he invited Philip to come up into his the chariot, and he got up with him, and they rode along. And what did Philip do? Well, he preached to this man Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because he began at the same scripture there in Isaiah. The lamb that was led to the slaughter is speaking about Jesus, the Son of God. And so he preached about Jesus and Him crucified. Because they came to a certain water, and the man said, "See, here's water. What hindered me to be saved?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe." So they went down the water, and he baptized him, and the man went on his way rejoicing. The man had a reason to rejoice, because Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His resurrection had been preached to him. He understood it, he received it, and he obeyed the gospel for the first principles of being baptized, and he was forgiven of his sins. So the gospel is important because it's commanded, and the gospel is important because Jesus Christ and Him crucified is preached when the gospel is taught. Thirdly, the gospel is to be preached and it's to be accepted. When I hear the gospel, I need to accept it as it is, that is, the Word of God. I need to accept it as it is, that is, the good news of what God did for me and for you, for all sinners. The gospel is to be preached and is to be accepted with no changes to it. I'm not to preach a watered-down gospel. I'm not to add my own thoughts to it and make it something that man says. I'm not to take what man says and divert it where it is condemned to change anything concerning the gospel. So this gospel that we're talking about, the good news of Jesus Christ, is as is, as is found in the Scriptures. Don't change it. Don't make any difference with it. Take it as it is and accept it as it is. Look at Galatians chapter 1, and let's look at these very familiar verses that we mention often in our Bible classes here at Beulah. But in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Now here we go. Are we to change the gospel? No. Verse 8, he says, the Galatians 1 verse 8, "But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." You see, we're to accept the gospel as it is. We're to preach it as it is and don't change it. Verse 9, he says, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." And he goes on to ask some questions in verse 10 in relationship to the importance of the gospel and not changing it. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." But verse 11, he says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." The gospel is important. It ought to be preached. And let's rephrase that. It must be preached and accepted as it is with no changes to it, or it cannot benefit us to the fullest that God expects it to benefit us with, because we've added something to it or we've taken something from it. It must be accepted and taught as it is. Well, in the next place this morning, let's look at another important fact about the gospel, and that is that salvation, forgiveness of our sins, is attainable by obeying the first principles of the gospel and then being faithful to the gospel until death. Salvation is attainable. God provided a way that man could have the right relationship with Him. What separates you and me from God? What separates people from God? Well, it's sin. Isaiah chapter 59 tells us that those Israelites, your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. Well, who sins? Well, everyone who reaches the age of understanding, that's old enough to understand right from wrong and receive the Word of God to realize right and wrong and what God says and what man says, at that point we're responsible for either making the right choice to do the way God tells us to go or to go the way maybe we think or man thinks. But salvation is attainable when we obey the gospel and what's taught in it, because we're separated from God by sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. So we need to come back to God and get in the right relationship with Him so we can be pleasing to God. And how do we do that? Well, God redeems us back through the blood of Christ. We're bought back from sin into God's family with the blood of Christ. And that's what the gospel's about. What God did through His Son and the shedding of His blood and the redemption we have in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So the gospel is attaining, the salvation is attainable through the gospel when we hear it and believe it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter declared, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven but in this name Jesus Christ. So the gospel and the name Jesus Christ and what He did for us, that's where salvation is attainable. Paul said in Romans 1:16 in our Bible reading this morning that what is the power of God? The power of God to man is in the gospel. For to who? For the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is for everyone. How can everyone or anyone and all people receive salvation? Through the gospel. Through obedience to the gospel. Look, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you were in 2 Corinthians earlier, go back, or Galatians earlier, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. And we see that salvation can be attained through obeying the gospel. First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, here we see that the Apostle Paul in verses 1 and 2 says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Paul preached the gospel to the Corinthians. They received it, and they were standing in it. By which, verse 2, also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. How is salvation, how is forgiveness of sins attainable, and how is eternal salvation attainable for man? We can't earn it. We can't live good enough to do it. But through the gospel, and by faith and obedience to the gospel, and remaining in that gospel and true to that word, God will give us a home in heaven. Salvation is attainable through the gospel. Look to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Hebrew writer says this, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the author of eternal salvation. He learned obedience to the Father when He came to this earth and was tempted in every point like in which we could ever be tempted. He was tempted, but He did not sin. So He is the author of eternal salvation because He overcame sin. He did not sin, and He gave His sinless blood for us so we can attain salvation by hearing the gospel, believing it, and obeying it. It's important to us. Well, the next point this morning concerning gospel is simply this, that people, you and me, folks can be influenced for what is right and for what is good when the gospel is preached. You know, there's enough things out there in the world, at work, at school, at play, in the community, in business, or wherever you go, there's enough things out there that if we let them, they'll influence us to do what's bad and do what's wrong and do what's just not right. But the gospel then can influence us to do what is right and to do what is good. Acts chapter 2, again, go back to when Peter preached that gospel sermon to those people. Some of those Jews there had a part in putting Jesus to death. And when He preached the gospel, it moved them. They were pricked in their hearts and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, verse 38, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And what did they do? It moved them to do the right thing. Verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day. It moved them to do good, to do that which was right in the sight of God. Why? Because Peter preached unto them the gospel, and it moved them. You know what? The gospel will move us to do what is right and what is good if we'll receive it as we ought to. It can influence us for what's good. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. The gospel was preached. Paul and others traveled around, and it did good. The people received the word of God. They studied the word of God. They heard the word of God. They received the gospel, and they obeyed it. And as a result of that, not only that, some of those that received it and obeyed it, they became people who could serve in the Lord's church as such things as elders, because Paul went around and appointed elders in every city. So the word of God can do us good. It can help men like me and you to become men that somewhere along the line we can become elders in the Lord's church. Because what? The gospel has done us good. And we've done right because of the gospel. And because of that, we grow to be what we ought to be in Christ. The gospel can bring about good. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. Turn over there. We see again an example of good that the gospel can do when it's taught. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded or more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Verse 12. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. They received it. They received it. They believed. They believed. So people can be influenced by the gospel to believe in God, to believe what's right and believe what's true. And we can be influenced by the gospel to step up and do the right thing. That's what God's plan is for us. He wants us to do the right thing. And if we do that, we're going to do right toward God, toward ourselves, toward our husbands and wives and our children and our family and our neighbor and our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to do right in our business dealings. We're going to do right. Because the gospel can influence us to do that. It can influence us to be good people. The gospel can do that for us. Well, talking about the gospel as we narrow down the end of our lesson this morning, our hope and our assurance of the resurrection and our hope and assurance of life after death is what? It is in the gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's read just a few verses there concerning the gospel and what it means to us and the hope that we have, the assurance we have of life after death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28. We won't read all these verses, but I just want to note, Paul says in verse 12, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable or most pitiable." But notice what he says then in verses 20 through 28. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming." Verse 24, then comes the end. "When he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." So we see then that he's put all things under his feet. The last enemy that will put under his feet, it will be death. And we find that he's going to put all things under his feet. Verse 28, "Now when all these are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under his feet, that God may be all in all." Now look at verses 50 through 57. the assurance and hope that we have through the gospel that we're going to be raised from the dead, that there's life after death, and there's a home in heaven. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Or, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God. Here we go. But thanks be to God, verse 57, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, where would we be this morning without the gospel? We'd be without hope. Be like the dog Rover. When they die, be dead all over. But we're not like that. We're made in the image of God. We have the hope and assurance of life after death because we can learn about it in the gospel. Well, verse 58, where you're already at there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see another point of the gospel is that we must be faithful to the gospel and the work of the Lord in order to receive the benefits of the gospel. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that ye may know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are we doing with the gospel? How are we handling the gospel? It's important that we receive it as it is, and we obey it as it is, and we follow faithfully in obedience to the gospel, so we can have that assurance of life after death. Because those who do not obey the gospel will be eternally lost. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9. Turn over there and let's look at that. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. What do we need to be doing then with the gospel? Well, I need to ask myself, what am I doing with this word that's so important, through which the power of God is revealed that we can be saved? How are we doing with it? How are you handling it? How am I doing when it comes to the gospel? Are we standing fast in the gospel? Have we obeyed the first principles? Are we a child of God and are we serving God faithfully? Ask those questions concerning the gospel. Are we standing fast in it? And if we are standing fast in it, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing ourselves. And part of what we're supposed to be doing is not only living it and obeying it, but doing what? Teaching it to others. Teaching it to others. Are we obeying the gospel? Well, from the scriptures I read in studying this lesson, I found out and was reminded, as you've been reminded this morning, that the gospel is just too important for us not to hear it. I'm going to tell you, it's just too important not to believe it. And it's just too important not to obey it. Because your soul and my soul is too important to lose in eternal hell that burns with fire and brimstone. Have you obeyed the gospel, the first principles? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that and repent of your sins and be baptized this morning to receive the gift that's in the gospel, the remission of sins? If not, why not? If you're here this morning and you have been baptized into Christ, but you haven't been faithful in the gospel, why not do what God would require you and me both to do if we make mistakes? And that is come to Him and confess our wrong, repent of our sins, and pray to Him. If we can help you anyway this morning in regard to your soul and the gospel, please come while we stand and while we sing.